I know that this has been a difficult time for you. You've been saying a lot of goodbyes. Over the last, couple months, you've said goodbye to your children and youth pastor. You've said goodbye to your longtime associate pastor, Pastor Mark Green. You said goodbye to Pastor Brad last week as you said goodbye to him. By the way, I want to say thank you for your generosity towards him and Beth. And I talked with Pastor Brad yesterday, and they are doing well. They appreciate so much the love and the encouragement that you've given them. And they are seeking the Lord's will for their life. And I know that there is a few things happening for him. So keep praying for Pastor Brad. And then the news today of Pastor David going to be transitioning over the next couple of months to Wisconsin to join his wife. I don't think it's fair for us to send her and not him. Right, David? I don't think that'll work, right? We could try to figure that out. I'm up for that, but I'm sure that that's not going to be the case. But transitions are always difficult. And this church, as you know, is in a state of transition. You're in a time that sometimes is difficult. I want you to know that life is full of transitions. Just this past week, I went to the graduation of my son from Indiana Wesleyan University, and it was the beginning of a transition for him. There was an end, and graduation is a real sharp end. You know, no more papers, no more homework. You get a degree, get off campus. You can't live here anymore. You know, and that's what happens when you graduate. And this coming Friday, Saturday, Olivet will be having graduation at Olivet Nazarene University. But he graduated, and then he finished up his last golf tournament South Bend. Thank you, Jane. He was at South Bend. Pouring rain. Let me tell you something. You should not play golf in pouring rain. It was 2 days of pouring rain. But he played golf, and then he finished his golf career, and that was a sad moment for him as he realized that he would never play competitive golf anymore. Then he came home for a day, and then he moved into his first apartment, and then today he started his brand new job. And I said, welcome to real life, you know. And life is like that, right? Transitions. And you've gone through transitions both personally, collectively as a church. You're going through transitions. And in transitions, there are three stages. There's the end, which you are experiencing. And for some, an ending can be relief. When you graduate, sometimes that's relief. But it also can be grief that goes along with that. There is that stage of limbo where you're in between where you ended and where you're going to be. And then there's new beginnings. And you are right now in the ending portion and in that limbo portion. You are in between where you want to be as a church. You literally have said goodbye to, you're saying goodbye to your entire pastoral staff, except one. Pastor Jim is still here. And I said to Pastor Jim today, I said, Pastor Jim, are you still going to be here next week? And he reaffirmed to me that he would be here with you and continue to be your visiting pastor. So, but it's okay, amen? Because transitions are part of life, and churches go through transitions, and you're in one. My life is about helping churches in transition. This afternoon, I'm going to go and I'm going to install a brand new pastor at the Corey Church of the Nazarene, where they're beginning a brand new season of a new pastor. They had a pastor for 32 years. He retired. They had a period where they had no pastor. Then they got a new pastor, and now he'll be being installed. And so it happens, and so that's where you are today. I want to help you in your transition today by helping you focus on a transition passage in the Scripture. If you look at the Scripture, we're in a season of transition. We just came through Lent, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and then we're in the stage in the church calendar called Eastertide. It's the period after Easter, but it's the period before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost. It also is the time where Jesus appears as a resurrected Jesus to people on this planet. And the scripture tells us that he appeared to over 500 witnesses. And one of those occasions was recorded for us in John chapter 21, where we're going to be today. And Jesus has some things to say to Peter that I think he wants to say to us in our transition, because Peter was really living in transition. He was living in a period of going from feeling like he was a failure to being reinstated in a powerful way. Before I get there, let me just share with you this is my family, by the way. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Kevin Hardy, the district superintendent. That's my son, Patrick, right there, who graduated. My daughter, Kristen, who is going to be finishing up her junior year at Southern Nazarene University. My son, Weston, who is sitting right down here in the front row. There's Weston. And my wife, Jane, who's sitting down here as well in the front row. And so it's great to have them here with us at the second service. And so that's great. So let's read together. Take your Bibles. Let's go to John chapter 21. You brought your Bibles with you. I'm going to have you stand one more time out of respect to God's Word. If you brought your Bible with you, hold it up for me, would you? Show me your Bibles. Amen. That's great. I didn't say your phones, but that's all right. Your phones will work. Phones, pads, all those things that have the scripture on it. Let's read together. I'm reading from the New International Version, John chapter 21, starting at verse number 15. Here's what the scripture says. When they had finished eating. Now let me just stop there for a moment, give you a little bit of context here. When they had finished eating, Jesus now is going to appear to them as a resurrected Jesus. And Peter and the other disciples, after the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, they decide to go back fishing. And let me just say this. This is not part of the sermon. But sometimes when you're going through transitions, you want to go back to something familiar. Okay? He goes back fishing. And he says to the other disciples, hey, you guys want to go fishing with me? They said, yeah, we may as well. Let's go fishing. They go fishing, and the scripture says, you can read it in the beginning part of John 21, they go fishing and they don't catch anything. Now, these are professional fishermen. They don't catch anything. And then they hear somebody calling from shore, hey, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. Ding, 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 ding. That should be familiar to you if you know the story of the gospel. Ding, ding, ding. This had happened before. They throw their nets on the other side of the boat, and the scripture says they catch 153 large fish. I love how specific the scripture is. Large fish. And then one of the disciples says, hey, the Lord, it's the Lord. And Peter, being rambunctious, obnoxious at times, Peter jumps out of the boat and runs to the shore. The other disciples come along with the fish, and then they take some of those fish and they have breakfast on the shore. That's where we are, okay? They just ate with resurrected Jesus. Can you imagine eating with the resurrected Jesus? I mean, this is a special moment. And so we pick up the story. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourselves and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the other disciple whom Jesus loved was following them, This was the one who would lean back against Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" And when Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." And because of this, a rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die, but Jesus did not say that he would not die. He said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" By the way, this has nothing to do with the sermon, but it just dawned on me, verse 23, where it says that there was a rumor spread around. There was a rumor spread around. There was a rumor spread around. I mean, why was that scripture even put in the scripture? Because rumors spread. Sometimes all that you hear is not true. If I want him to die or to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Father, bless us, I pray. Bless this word. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And so Jesus is reinstating Peter. Remember, Peter had denied Jesus three times. Peter had one of these relationships with Jesus where he was up and down and up and down and up and down. You remember the last time I was here, I shared with you about the promise where Jesus tells Peter, "I will build my church on his testimony and the testimony of everybody else. And then the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then just a few minutes later, you know, Peter is kind of lecturing Jesus that he can't go to Jerusalem and die. And Jesus basically has to rebuke Peter and tell him, "Get behind me, Satan." You remember that? And remember, it was Peter who said, "I'll never deny you," yet he denies him three times, even though he was the one who takes the sword out and cuts the ear off of the soldier as Jesus was being arrested. I mean, this guy had been all over the map. But he was a failure when it comes to sticking to his commitments. Remember, there was another disciple named Judas who also sold out Jesus for a bag of money. He had regret as well, and he went and killed himself. Peter had regret, and he went back to fishing. Back to his old life. And it's Jesus who intentionally and deliberately, now as a resurrected Jesus, before he goes back to the Father in the ascension and before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that he goes and finds Peter and says, "Peter, you're coming back. You're coming back." Now, how many of you love a comeback story? You like a comeback story? Everybody loves a comeback story, right? I mean, just a few weeks ago, Tiger Woods came back. I mean, I don't know how many golfers are in the room, but I sort of follow golf, you know. But here is a guy that they had buried, basically. I mean, his life had been a wreck. He had been exposed for all the affairs that he had against his wife. His wife had left him. He was a public disgrace. He was a wreck, both personally and professionally. And his body was a wreck. He had gone through four back surgeries. And some people had even said Tiger would never play golf again. And if he would play golf, he would never win again. Well, he did win a tournament, but then they said, well, he'll never win a major again. Well, this past first major of the year, Tiger came back to life and actually dominated and won the Masters. And it was a triumphant moment. And all of the golf fans around the world were celebrating the resurrection, basically, of a guy who was dead and came back to life in golf. It was an amazing story. Everybody loves a comeback story. A few years ago, my favorite football team was down 25 points in the Super Bowl to the Atlanta Falcons. We have some Atlanta folks here, right? And the Atlanta thought they were going on to win a Super Bowl. And all of a sudden, Tom Brady turns it on. And they turned in one of the most amazing comeback stories in NFL history and won the Super Bowl. And here was Tom at the end of the game. We all love a comeback story, unless you hate the Patriots. Then you don't like that comeback story. But I don't know about you, but God is a God of comebacks. God is a God of resurrection. God is a God of renewal. God is a God who takes broken things and brings it alive. God is a God of taking people who go the wrong direction and who repent and turn back in the right direction and use them for God's glory. Praise the Lord. Amen. And here's what I'm believing about Owosso First Church of the Nazarene. There's a comeback story in your story. There's a story that God is going to write in you. There are days that you've been through the last few months that are difficult days. But I still believe that this is His church. It's not my church. It's not your former pastor's church. It's not your pastoral staff's church. It's not even your church. This is His church. And He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so He reinstates here in John chapter 21, Jesus is telling Peter, I am putting you back on the map. I'm asking you to get back in the game. I'm not done with you yet. I'm not done with you, and I've got some things to say to you, and I've got some things to say to you to help you to stay focused on what's important. And I believe the same message that Jesus gave to Peter is the same message that He's given to you today. He's given to this church today. In your time of transition, and this was a transition time for Peter, it was in between the resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There was great grief in that time, great bewilderment. There was a time with what just happened to Jesus on a cross. There was not a full understanding of what this resurrection really meant. And here Jesus is finding Peter and saying, I've got something to say to you. And I want to say to you this morning, God's got something to say to you. So three things I want you to see. Three things. First of all, in a comeback story or in a transition time, God wants to stay you to stay focused on, first thing is, focus on loving Jesus. Focus on loving Jesus. Notice what Jesus asked Peter at that right after breakfast. He turns His attention from having breakfast with the group, and He turns and He looks Peter right in the eyes. And He says to him in verse number 15, He says, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Do you truly love me more than these? Why did He say more than these? In other words, more than your brothers who are around this campfire with me, do you truly love me more than these? Now, brotherly camaraderie is a powerful force, isn't it? It's a powerful force when you do things together. It also can be very destructive. But He's saying to Peter, He's saying, do you truly love me more than these? And he responds and he says, you know that I love you. And he responds, and feed my sheep. And Jesus asked Peter that question not once, not twice, but three times. Why did Jesus ask Peter if he loved him three times? Because the last time Jesus spoke to Peter, he told him he would deny him three times. And so he wanted to make clear to Peter that he wanted a love relationship with Peter, and he wanted to use Peter, and that what his sin did, his denial of his faith and his relationship with Jesus, did not sever it forever. Amen? Do you truly love me? And that's the question I want to ask you this morning. I want to simply ask you this. Do you love God? Do you truly love God? Do you truly love God? And do you love Him enough that it's not just words, but it will be deeds? Will you stay focused on what the essence of Christianity is really all about? A love relationship with God the Father through God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Do you love me? He says. You see, love is not a feeling. Love is an action. Love is a commitment. Love is a choice. If you've been married long enough, you know there are times where you don't feel like loving. But that doesn't mean you should love. There are times in your life where you don't feel like loving your neighbor. God's word says love your neighbor. Actually, it says love your enemies. And so Jesus hears these words and this response from Peter three times, and three times he said to him, now feed my sheep, take care of my sheep. In other words, if you love me, then you will obey me, and you will do the things that I have been doing. Love is an action. Love is a choice. If you love me, you will obey me. Now, I'm going to skip all that for time's sake. Number two, the second thing I want you to hear today is not only does God want you to love him, but God also wants you to stay focused on serving others. To stay focused on serving others. After every response, Jesus says to Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to take care of my sheep. I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to take care of my lambs. In other words, Jesus is saying to Peter that if you want to be a follower of mine and you say that you love me, you're going to have to act like you love me by doing the work that I have called you to do. In times of transition, my friends, is a time for you to step up. Soon, you're only going to have one part-time pastor here. Does that mean the church stops doing ministry? No. Does that mean that we all go on vacation until you get a new pastor? No. That means that every single person in this church who calls this their home must step up and say, Lord, where can I serve? Where can I help? Where can I give of my talents, my time, my energy to make a difference in the kingdom of God? There are responsibilities around this church that need to happen. There are ministries that still need to function. There are leadership opportunities for you. Let me just go through a few of them with you. You have a children's ministry. You have what I call little ones. Amen? You know what Jesus said? Let all the little ones come unto me. Love me like the little children. We need help in the nursery, in the preschool, in the elementary age, Sunday school, quizzing, other ministries to children. There are places and opportunity for many of you to step in and say, I will volunteer. Now, some of you haven't worked in children's ministry for a long time. If you don't hate children, you can still help. Amen? If you hate children, please go to the altar. Our youth need you. I was in the youth class this morning, went and met the youth leader who's in there with some of our teenagers. I love teenagers, amen? You should love teenagers. They need your help. Our adult Sunday school needs your help. Our small groups need your help. Your hospitality needs your help. Your worship ministry is going to need your help. Your sound and technical ministries, your other ministries of your church need your help. In other words, in times of transition, Jesus is saying to you, do you love me? And your response is yes. And his response is, go to work. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Don't sit on your hands. Amen? And so Jesus is saying to us, especially in this day and time where the church is going through transition, there's a place for all of us. Here's what I would ask you to do. Be available and be willing to serve not only in places that you're comfortable, but be willing to serve in places that are needed. And that means you're willing to serve in places that you may not necessarily be your sweet spot, but you'll do whatever you can for the sake of the team. Amen? The ministry of Jesus Christ. God's calling us to step up and take care. Notice what the scripture says. Read it with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your servant, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Do you remember just before Jesus went to the cross, he was on his way to the cross, John chapter 13, they went to the house for a meal and there was nobody there to wash feet. And what did Jesus do? He takes off his outer garment, he grabs the towel and the bucket, and he goes around and he starts washing everybody's feet. You remember that? You remember Peter? He gets to Peter, he's going to wash Peter's feet, and Peter says, "You ain't washing my feet." No way. Ain't going to happen. You're above this. I'm not letting you wash my feet. And what did Jesus say to him? If you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. In other words, Jesus was saying, if you're going to be a follower of mine, you've got to be a servant. And you've got to allow yourself to be served and to serve. And what did Peter say in response to that? Well, in that case, don't just wash my feet, but wash my whole body. You know, let's do a whole bath here. And Jesus said, that's not necessary. But then after he's done washing his feet, he tells his disciples, he says, now you go and do likewise. Now, I don't know about you, but feet stink. If there's one thing that grosses me out is somebody else's feet. I mean, my own feet are kind of ugly, you know? But here Jesus is doing the lowliest task, and he's teaching us that he would come to serve, not to be served. And he asks you, his disciples, his followers, who say you love him, to serve like he would serve. You want to encourage yourself? Especially when you're feeling down? Find somebody to love. Somebody to serve. Something to do. And God will lift you up and use you in a powerful way. Amen? Here's number three. Here's the third lesson. The third lesson is this. Focus on staying focused. Focus on staying focused. You see, after Jesus has this encounter with Peter, where he asks him three times, do you love me? And three times in response, he says, now go to work. He then turns and says here in verse number 18 and 19, he says, I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. In other words, Peter, there's a time in your life when you decided to do what you wanted to do. You did what you wanted with your time, with your money, with your occupation. You decided that you were going to live your life for you. But now that you're older, he says, when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. In other words, if you're going to follow me, Jesus, Peter, it will mean that you will give up your rights, you will give up your desires, you will give up your agenda, and you will follow my agenda, and my agenda may lead you to death. Does that remind you of what Jesus said to Peter? Take up your cross daily and follow me. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow him. Now, tradition tells us that Peter was killed for his faith, crucified on a cross, upside down. He was crucified upside down because he did not want, felt worthy enough to die like his Savior and his Lord, Jesus, who died on a cross right side up. Well, that's a nice message, huh? I'm going to reinstate you. And I'm going to tell you, hey, by the way, When you get old, you're going to die. And it's not going to be your choice. Well, what does Peter do? Here's how he responds. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following him. Who was that, by the way? That is the disciple that is referred to as John. He was the one who was standing at the cross with his mother, who looked at him and said, "Take care of my mom." He was following along. This was the one who leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" And when Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" And here's the temptation. The temptation for all of us in periods of transition when we're not feeling very good about life, when we're struggling, when things are hard, we can get into this kind of pity party kind of feeling where we go, "Well, what about him? And what about her? And why doesn't he do that? And why doesn't she do that? And how come she's not doing this? And how come he's not doing that? How come..." And soon we get off focus from loving Jesus and serving one another, and we get our focus on one another, and we start comparing ourselves to each other. What about him? How's he going to die? Are they going to stretch his arms out and kill him like they're going to kill me? What about him? And here's what Jesus says. If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? If I want him to remain alive, what is that to you? You must follow me. And you heard about the rumor. And then he said, if I want him to remain until I return, what is that to you? He repeats it twice. Staying focused on staying focused is a huge task. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get discouraged. And it's easy to start pointing fingers and comparing yourself to what other people are doing or not doing. And then we get off track. You know what every great team that needs a comeback does? They focus on what's important. There's a saying on the New England Patriots who have won a lot. Do your job. Do your job. Do your job. If you're a lineman, block. You're a defensive back, knock the pass down. If you're a quarterback, run the play. If you're a running back, run the ball. If you're the ball boy on the side, make sure the balls are ready. If you're ready with the water can, get the water can. Whatever your job is, do your job. Great teams have great focus. Great churches have great focus. But you got to be focused even when it gets hard. So what does Jesus say? Do you love me? That's our first focus. Our second focus, serve one another. Our third focus, stay focused on being focused. And God will help you. Amen? You're going to get through this, folks. There's a new day. Direction. God's not done with you. in your own personal transitions as well as in your transitions collectively as a group. We just have to say, Lord, I am yours. I love you. Stand with me, would you? Oh God, we need you. And I pray, oh Lord, that you will help us to heed the lessons you taught to the Apostle Peter so many years ago, in the middle of a transition, in the middle of a comeback, in the middle of a time when he was reinstating Peter, who had failed miserably. I pray that you would help this church. You'd help these people who you love and who love you to stay focused on what's important. So Lord, encourage us today, I pray. Bless us. Would you just pour your blessings upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.